You're listening to The Zen Courses Show, episode 30.
Welcome to The Zen Courses Show, the show for online course creators who care about building actionable, meaningful, and profitable online courses. If you're a solo entrepreneur, tech geek, or creative, The Zen Courses Show is the place to get expert advice for creating your online course, overcoming overwhelm, and growing a balanced business. To get the full experience, sign up at zencourses.co, where you'll get access to free lessons, resources, and more. Again, that's zencourses.co.
What's up, everyone? Thanks for tuning in to the Zen Courses Show today. I am excited to be speaking with famed photographer Susan Stripling. You may know Susan from her wedding photography courses on Creative Live. Well, she's just launched her own online school, The Wedding School, and she's here to share her story with us. Susan, welcome to the Zen Courses Show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So I'm excited to talk about the wedding school and everything you else have going on. But before we get started, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling you from Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. So I read that you split your time between Brooklyn and Philadelphia. Is that still the case?
I do. It definitely still is.
Okay. Nice.
So spend a lot of time on that New Jersey Turnpike. So yeah.
I do know about that. I've got family in that area. So I do know about that.
It's a good time.
Cool. So I like to start every interview off by asking five quick questions to help listeners get to know you. Are you ready?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So number one, what is your favorite song right now?
We're going to open up with an embarrassing question. I'd like to preface this by saying that I have an 11-year-old daughter and a daughter who's about to be 15. So the music we listen to in our house is somewhat questionable.
Yeah.
But I'm really kind of stuck on this Justin Bieber song called Love Yourself. And it's terrible. It's a terrible song, but
no.
I find myself humming it. And, you know, when I'm in the shower and I listen to it when I'm walking the dog and I don't know that Justin Bieber is kind of a catchy little kid.
So I'm going to take a pause here. I DJ part time, and
really?
the new Justin Bieber album, the DJs approve. So you're okay.
It's
with
that. So good. It's so good. I don't understand. I mean,
yeah.
We're talking about Justin Bieber here,
yeah.
And I think it's wonderful.
Yes, it's approved. So that's okay. You don't have to feel bad about that in any way.
Good.
Okay, so since you have a theater background, this next question is especially for you. What's your favorite play?
Oh, Hamilton. I mean, I know that that's what everybody is saying these days, but, I saw Hamilton for the first time last year. I've seen it several times since then, and it's probably the best theatrical production of any kind that I've ever seen, ever.
I'm super jealous. I'm jealous of all New Yorkers because I haven't been able to see Hamilton. So we're just going to move on to number three. Now, this is kind of a random one. How do you feel about cheese? Love it? Hate it? Where do you stand?
It's the greatest thing in the entire world. I mean, that's an obvious question. It's amazing. The older and stinkier, the better.
People have strong feelings about cheese. So that's like my new question to see.
It should be a strongly positive feeling about cheese because it is a miraculous thing.
Yes. Cheese is pretty good. It's pretty good. All right. So since you've traveled around and shot weddings all over the world, what are the three most beautiful destinations you've ever shot?
Well, the most beautiful place I've ever been, I just went on vacation. I had no shooting to do there whatsoever. I was just shooting landscapes for fun and traveling with my children, and that was Iceland. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been, and I know that everyone is going, and, you know, I know that everybody is saying that it's the best place they've ever been, and it's true. It really is. The second most amazing place I've ever been, I shot a wedding in Finland one time, and it was gorgeous. It was just very clean and green and beautiful, and the people were lovely, and the food was terrible, but it was gorgeous. It was gorgeous there. And then my husband, actually, who is also a wedding photographer, he photographed a wedding in Hong Kong, and I went with him. And it was fascinating there. It was beautiful and strange and completely alien to me, and it was a pretty spectacular place. I would love to go back.
Okay. Iceland, Finland, and Hong Kong. Interesting. Well, now we know. Now we know.
There you go.
All right. So last one, fill in the blank. If I weren't a wedding photographer, I would be blank.
If I weren't a wedding photographer, if I could find someone to hire me to professionally read novels, that's what I would like to do. I would love to be a book critic. And if I couldn't be a book critic, I would love to be a theater critic.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. Which goes against, you know, I grew up as a kid wanting to be a ballerina and then for a very brief amount of time wanted to own a funeral home. So it has been an interesting progression through potential careers. So I think I'll stick with wedding photography.
Yeah, that's that gap there, ballerina, funeral home. I think you're in a good place right now.
It's true. It's a nice place to be.
All right, Susan. So we know you're a wedding photographer, but we don't know how you came to be one. Can you tell us your story?
Surely. That aforementioned theater degree, I got out of college with a degree in theater and promptly thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? I don't actually want to pursue a career in theater. I basically went to school for the thing that I loved the most, but didn't give a lot of thought as to how I was really going to parlay that into a career once I got out of college. And when I did, I, you know, went to some auditions, moved to New York for a brief period of time and realized that just the life of a performer was not really something that I wanted to pursue. So I was a little bit adrift. I didn't know what to do. I waited tables for a while. I was a receptionist in a kind of a computer-based marketing company, which was ferociously boring. And one day I went to the PhotoPlus Expo at the Javits Center here in New York, knowing nothing about photography, just went with a friend who was going and said, oh, this will be cool. We can listen to some photographers talk. So that sounds great. And I went and I bought a book about documentary wedding photography. And I had never known that there really was such a thing. I thought that wedding photography was very stiff. It was very, you know, kind of paint by numbers photography. And I didn't realize there was a creative element to it. So I bought that book, read it, thought, wow, that's interesting, and sort of shelved it and didn't really think about it from there on out. Got married, had my first daughter, moved away from New York, moved to Tallahassee, Florida, with my husband at the time, and set about the process of raising a family there. And through an odd twist of fate, one of his coworkers was getting married, you know, a few short years later, and couldn't really afford a photographer, wasn't really looking to hire anybody fancy or super professional, and said, hey, I know your wife likes photography. She takes great pictures of your kid. Would she maybe want to take some pictures at my wedding? And I said, oh, that sounds like so much fun. That would be great. And then the second I volunteered to do it, I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? I just volunteered to shoot someone's wedding. And even though they weren't expecting much, they were really just expecting what your friend with a really good camera would do. I knew that I had to do better than that, because if I'm going to do something, I want to do it as well as I possibly can. So I spent the months leading up to that wedding learning very elementary, very rudimentary photo 101 skills. Went and shot the wedding. It was pretty much what you would expect from a friend with a pretty decent eye and an okay camera. And from there, a friend of hers called and said, hey, will you shoot my wedding? And I said, yeah, I think you guys have got this wrong. I'm not a wedding photographer. And that's when the little voice in the back of my head just kind of said, why not? Why can't you be a wedding photographer? And I sort of dipped my toe into it and then jumped straight on into the deep end and haven't looked back.
Wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
So I'm also interested, how did you transition from being a photographer, shooting weddings, to saying, okay, I'm going to teach other wedding photographers?
That was really interesting, because when I got started as a wedding photographer, there weren't a whole lot of opportunities to become educated as a wedding photographer. You could go to college for it. You could go somewhere like Brooks or go and get a degree in photography. But I was seeing a lot of people coming out of these various college programs with a wonderful eye and a wonderful photographic ability, but not a whole lot of business and sales and marketing ability. So when I was looking for education, we found, you know, some national conventions, some local groups were having kind of camera club type workshops, but nobody was really teaching workshops or leading any sort of classes like on Creative Live or anything like that. And there just wasn't a lot of education out there. And slowly over the years, photographers started seeing a need in the market for that. They started offering small workshops and big workshops. And I started thinking, you know, that's something that maybe I would like to do, but I just don't think that my skills are quite there yet. And it took a period of time for photographers to start coming to me and saying, hey, I would really like to learn from you. Are you teaching? And once enough of those people were asking and I felt that my abilities technically were in a place that I really could teach people, then I started opening up to the opportunity of giving small group workshops, 5 people, 10 people, 20 people at most. And I started there. So I started my business in 2001, and I believe I taught for the first time in 2007.
Okay. And when you started teaching, you said they were small groups. I'm assuming they were live face-to-face groups.
Yes. And that's, nobody was really teaching, you know, I hate to date myself, but I've been in the industry for about 15 years. And when I got started, nobody was teaching online.
Yeah.
Online training really just wasn't, you know, when you're looking at 2003, 2004, no courses were online that were
that's
applicable
true.
To us. And so the thing that sort of was the first rise of education in wedding photography were group workshops, mm-hmm. anywhere from 5 to 20 people. They would have to come to me. I would have to rent out a space, you know, so on and so forth. And I started with that. From there, it transitioned over to speaking at conventions. So instead of speaking for an entire day or 2 days in front of 5 to 20 people, you're speaking for 90 minutes or 3 hours in front of 1,000 people, which is also wonderful, but, you know, slightly different learning experience, less hands-on, less one-on-one.
Yeah.
And from there, then I started seeing the rise of people teaching online. And instead of going straight to video courses online, I started writing books and self-publishing because I've always really liked writing. Mm-hmm. So I started writing these books in about 2008 and putting them online, and people would buy them from me, and it was great. And then online training started coming around with the, you know, Kelby Media Groups and the Creative Lives of the world. And I resisted it for a long time because I just thought, oh, video training, that's a fad. You know what I mean? Like, it's a passing thing. That crazy stuff will never catch on. And it did. And yeah. I'm really glad that I decided to, you know, step into that world myself because it's actually been my favorite way to educate.
Now, what, I mean, you talked about thinking that it was a fad, but what reservations or fears did you have in doing video courses?
Well, because I had been doing so well with writing and selling these books, and because I did do well, I did not give workshops regularly. I know there are a lot of photographers, you know, my husband is one of them, who will give 4 or 5 regular workshops a year. Mine were a little bit more sporadic. And I was really worried if I start doing these video courses, is it going to kill the live in-person workshop? Is it going to kill the ability to still write books? Will I be forced to do a bunch of videos at a really low price point to sell them? And then it's going to ruin everything else that I've ever done educationally.
Yeah.
So I legitimately really was afraid of that. And what I realize now is that, well, sure, there are going to be some people who will spend money on a video and sit at home and watch that instead of coming to a workshop. But videos haven't taken over the in-person workshop because it's just a completely different medium for learning.
Yeah, it's so funny to hear you say that. I've actually never heard an entrepreneur say that. For me, I always heard similar sentiments from, so I come from a higher education background, creating courses
sure.
for colleges and universities. And I have to say, when online education started taking off, these colleges were just deathly afraid that it was
yes.
going to kill their business, kill their enrollment.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like now people are getting to the place where, oh, it's not going to kill everything. It's just another way for people to learn, you know, collectively.
Exactly. And I was just really afraid at first. And I know that a lot of my friends and colleagues who gave in-person workshops, they were also just very worried that, oh no, everybody's going to want to get it online. Nobody's going to want to come in person. And then you start thinking of how many units of a video you would have to move to make up for one lost seat in a workshop in person. And I understand, you know, when everyone was shooting medium format and 35 millimeter came around, it was, oh no, the photography industry is over. And then
yeah.
digital came around and it was, oh no, the photography industry is over now. And nothing is ever truly over. It just moves over and adapts for what's new. So it's been really interesting to watch the rise of video courses and how they've evolved and where they're at right now. And I'm very, very glad that I'm part of it because it is, for me, it is a learning experience that resonates well with me, which helps me make the courses that I create resonate well with other people.
Yeah. So I know you have several courses on Creative Live. Is there a reason that you chose to partner with them early on instead of creating courses and offering them on your website?
Well, it's funny. It took me a really long time to say yes to Creative Live because I just wasn't sure. I'm a very late adopter of things because I just want to make sure that they're right and that they're true before I step into them. So it took a few years of Creative Live saying, hey, why don't you come teach for us? For me to say, hey, I'll totally come teach for you guys, because I wanted to wait and see what the experience was like for other people and what it did for the rest of their educational businesses before I stepped in and did it. And the reason why I didn't create anything on my own was partly I just simply did not know how to.
Yeah,
I had no idea. You know, I could hire a videographer, we could make a course, and I could put it up for downloads. But in terms of creating an entire framework where videos can be viewed online or downloaded or this or that, I didn't know. And I also knew that going and speaking for a company like Creative Live would expose me to an audience that I might not have had I built it on my own at first. So I'm very glad that I did. And the courses that I've done for them were amazing experiences because they're great people over there and it's a great business. But you do reach a point whenever you're doing something for other people that you start thinking, couldn't I do this by myself?
Yeah.
Like, you know, when you're writing books and you're thinking, oh, I need a publisher for this. One day I thought, why can't I just publish it by myself? And so I did. And I had to learn a lot about video courses and how people watch them and what people related to and didn't relate to. And then there was that day that I woke up and said, you know what? I think I can do this by myself. And that was that.
Well, it sounds like there's so much there. There's so many things I was thinking about. But it sounds like Creative Live was a perfect incubator for you so that you could really get comfortable until you got
it was. And I did not think that's where this whole thing would lead. I thought, you know, okay, I'll do a couple of classes over here and it will be really great. It will be another thing to round out, you know, the education that I do for wedding photographers. And then I'll go back to doing in-person workshops and I'll do books. This video stuff is fun, you know, but it's not real. Like, it's not really going to be a big thing.
Right.
And then I did a couple of classes and what I saw in response from the photographers, how it was helping them, how they were learning on their own time, how they were learning at their own pace. They could watch the video and watch it again and watch it again. That's when I started thinking, you know what? I think I really could build something big that pulled in both of my favorite ways of teaching, which are writing and video training. And why can't I do this by myself? Maybe I'll try this. Maybe it will fail. But maybe I've got a good idea and I can be enough to do this by myself.
Before we move on, you said something earlier that I want to come back to. You said you were waiting to see the effect that Creative Live and other online teaching methods had on photographers' businesses,
photographers
that you knew. So how has teaching online changed your business?
Well, it's funny because before I signed up to ever teach for Creative Live or ever do any type of video course, I watched some. Because I just wanted to make sure that it would resonate with the way I like to teach, with the way I like to get information across, and just did I understand just the medium of teaching in general. And I actually loved it because when I'm reading a book, I'll wander off from it. And when the main part for me is when I go to an in-person workshop, it is so, so, so much information and I'm trying to write it down and I'm trying to just get it all in my head. And then I go home and I'm full of inspiration. And then I look down at my notes and I said, what are these? Like, oh, I wish I could just go watch that workshop again or do it one more time. Or if only I had a video of that workshop so I could watch it whenever I wanted. Oh, well, now you can. Mm-hmm. So I'm noticing that people are, instead of going to a lot of workshops and frantically trying to remember everything when they get home, you know, you can watch a video over and over and over again until it just becomes muscle memory to do the things that you've learned in the video. So I regularly go back to the courses in my Creative Live library to be like, oh, this one person said this one thing about something. What was it that they said? I don't think I wrote it down. And I can go back and find it and watch it again and watch it again. So I feel like the education is really drilling down and burying itself in people's brains in a way that it was sort of more difficult to do in the past.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so let's talk about the wedding school Can you give us an overview of what it is and who it's for?
Sure. Well, you know, our tagline for the wedding school is real honest wedding photography information.
Yep.
And that is what I strive to bring. I've gone to lots of conventions and lectures and read books and, you know, listened to podcasts and looked at online video training where it's what we like to call infotainment, which is, oh, you know, they're going to give you a lot of information. They're going to give you a couple of nuggets and you're going to feel like you learned a lot. And then you're going to go home and sit down and realize, huh, there wasn't a lot of meat in there. There was a lot of inspirational talk. Mm-hmm. And I don't learn well with that. I zone out on that really fast. So I wanted to create something where, yes, you will definitely be entertained and inspired, but you will also be able to go get that real honest information on a variety of different topics. So it began as we created five pillars of education, and they're basically the five pillars under which everyone who runs a wedding photography business needs to be super proficient at. You've got business and finance, sales and marketing, post-production, super important. And then we broke up photography into two different sides. There's the photo skills, which are your cameras, your lenses, your f-stops, your shutter speeds, all of that. And then there's wedding skills. How do you get a big group of people together for a picture quickly? How do you handle difficult situations? How do you navigate the wedding day itself? Because shooting is different than shooting a wedding. So we educate on both sides of that. And we've created a fundamental series that walks you through an overview of everything that you need to know about those five pillars. But we realize that fundamentals are not enough. Sometimes you need to know more. So what if you're watching the business fundamentals and I talk about your wedding day contract and I say it's imperative that you have a wedding day contract and this is why? Well, if you want to learn more about that wedding contract, that's why we've created what we're calling the Learning Library. And the Learning Library is full of all of these deep dives, these deep dive videos that take these fundamentals and they break them down into pieces. So for example, when I'm talking about managing a wedding day and how the most important document that I have on the wedding day is a wedding day worksheet that I have my clients fill out, I briefly talk about that in the fundamentals series. If people really want to learn what that wedding day worksheet is, what all the questions I ask are, and what the answers are going to tell me about my clients, we have a deep dive video about the wedding day worksheet. So you can either learn the fundamentals and then go through every single one of the deep dives, or you can jump from fundamentals to deep dives, learning more about what you need. And it's been amazing as we listen to the wedding photographers that have joined the wedding school and have come into the Facebook group, we are actually able to tailor the education to the needs that people have. So every time we have a recording session, every time we recruit new instructors or build new deep dives for the Learning Library, we ask, you know, what do you need to know? And it's wonderful because it keeps the education fresh, it keeps it real time, and it keeps it super timely. So it's not just, you know, every course that I'd created before always had an end date. Yeah. So I did a course for Creative Live as 30 days of wedding photography. And on the 31st day, there was no more. It was just over. It was in the can. It was done. Here with the wedding school, it's never done because we're always creating new information. So we have a video on Instagram for marketing. Well, Instagram just changed its algorithm. So there will be an updated video as to what that algorithm means for Instagram. So it's great because instead of just looking at course information and sort of trying to pick and choose what you need, we're providing a lot of very in-depth, very real-time education. So you don't have to go out and buy someone's 3-day class or 4-day class and just sort of sit through it and say, oh, I really bought this class to learn off-camera flash. When are they going to talk about off-camera flash? With the wedding school, if you're watching a 3-hour fundamental video and you want to jump straight to off-camera flash, you can jump there. And then you can jump somewhere else. So it's very easy to find not only a broad amount of information, but exactly what you need quickly.
Now, you really just segued into my next question, which is perfect. Which is perfect. And you kind of started to answer it, but I want you to say it in just a very clear statement for anyone wondering.
Sure.
If I'm a prospective student, why do I choose your school over the selection of courses you have on Creative Live?
And that is actually an amazing question. And when we were putting the wedding school together, we knew that that would be the first question that people had. Like, yeah. Listen, you've got this 30-day course on Creative Live. That's a lot of education. Why would we buy this instead? And my first answer is, you know, at the end of the 30 days, it was over. The course is now 2 years old. You know, a lot of that information, photo skills are always photo skills, but business and marketing, that changes as your business evolves 2 years down the road. And when you buy that 30-day course or any of my courses anywhere else, you just get the course and that's what you get. And I hope you enjoy it. But with the wedding school, you get the course and then you get the course we create next week. And then you get the courses we create 2 months from now. And then you get access to the other instructors that we're bringing in. And that's where the wedding school began and it was just me. But when we go live for our event in April, we have guest instructors. And guest instructors are something that you are not going to get if you buy one of my classes anywhere else. So you will get, you're going to get all that you get from 30 Days of Wedding Photography. That was an amazing course. It's one of my proudest moments as an educator. But think of, you know, everything that you learn every single year after that, that you're in business. This is current, this is updated, and this is constantly evolving with people, not just myself. So that's, you know, that's where the real differentiator is.
Yeah, I think there's a couple key things that I really pull out, and they balance each other out well. And one is there's the opportunity for just-in-time learning. So if I'm looking for a specific topic that I need help with, I can go into the school and find that specific video.
Right.
And the other thing that you mentioned is I can, this school grows with me. So what, as I grow as a photographer, then yes. I'm able to take information in that's going to help me grow even further.
And that's what when I used to buy courses or books or go to workshops, I would go and maybe it would be a little too advanced for me, or maybe it wouldn't be advanced enough for me. And what if I just wanted to watch this one part over and over and over again and ignore this other part because I already had that? You can't really do that. But with the wedding school, if this 1 5-minute snippet on Instagram marketing is really important to you, you watch it again and again and again, and then you move on and you learn something else. And what's also been amazing, and I've mentioned this before, but I think it bears mentioning again, is you said a really great thing is as you grow as a photographer, the school kind of grows alongside you. It also grows with you because as these students are more and more involved in the Facebook group and they're saying, hey, this video was great, but what about this? Or we need this. We're regularly asking them and polling them. And sometimes it reveals, you know, thoughts and concerns that working wedding photographers have that we did not necessarily know that they would have, or that are new concerns. You know, everyone's concerned with this new Instagram algorithm, and I am too. So it will be something that we can explore and get answers. And, you know, I've always said, and I'll say again to everyone who's part of the wedding school or even considering it, if I don't know the answer to something, I'm going to go find somebody who does know the answer for you. Yeah. So it's just an amazing wealth of information already, and we've only just got started.
So we're kind of talking about the learner journey here. So, you know, where your learners are when they start and where they end up when they're, I guess, finished with the school. With regard to the wedding school, where are your students when they begin? Are they at the beginning of their career, or are they somewhere in the middle, or does it vary?
Well, it's a really great question. And we actually were not sure when we first got started. I sort of made some assumptions based on what I knew about sort of my general customers, clients, audience. And we decided to do an educational survey just to see if my assumptions were correct. And we realized that people were really coming in at all different levels of their career. People who were in business for a year had shot less than 10 weddings. For people who had been in business for a couple of years, and then people who had been in business for 10, 15, 20 beyond years. So it was really scattered all the way across the boards. It was a little more heavily weighted towards newer photographers, kind of 5 years and under.
Okay.
So that really did help shape how we created the fundamentals, because the fundamentals were really important. And if you are brand new into wedding photography, everything that you hear in the fundamentals is going to be brand new because you're new on your journey. But for people who've been in business for a few years, they will be watching it and they're saying, yeah, we know most of this stuff, but there are a lot of really good tips and tricks in here that we hadn't thought about. But the great part has been hearing people who've been in business for 10, 15, 20 years watching the fundamentals. Yes, we know most of this stuff, but they're still picking out great nuggets of information. And the fundamentals, when you've been in business for a while, you know, it's like opening up a business book for the first time. If you're your first year in business, you're going to read that entire table of contents, and then you're going to start at the very beginning of the book. But if you've been in business for a while, they'll read the table of contents and go, oh, here, I need to skip to chapter 4. And you have the ability to do that, to jump around based on your ability. And some things are, you know, for geared towards people who are newer. Some things are geared towards people who have been in business for a while. And as we build that learning library of deep dive videos, there will be more 101 level things versus the advanced level things, which is great because it will give people more of a journey to go on. Because some people are sort of 101 level in one area, but maybe, you know, 401 level in another area. There are plenty of people who are great at photography and terrible at business, are great at business but awful at post-production, you know? So there really is the opportunity to pick and choose what you need to learn based on where you are, and then the ability to watch more advanced things and watch more in-depth things whenever you're ready for them.
Okay. So let's dig into the structure a bit, just to paint the picture for anyone listening. So sure. I know that you have the five tiers of, or five pillars, I believe you called them. So are there, you know, I know that there are videos, but are the, for example, I'm looking right now at the branding section of sales and marketing. Is sales and marketing, are there specific videos on each of those topics underneath sales and marketing? Do you have full courses or one single sales and marketing course? Can you really dig into what it looks like when you go inside of the wedding school?
Absolutely. So when you're looking into sales and marketing, there's the fundamental series that will take you through every single thing that you need to know, sort of bullet point by bullet point through sales and marketing. And then underneath that in the learning library, which is what we're building out right now, is that every single one of those bullet points, while it might get 30 seconds to 3 minutes in the fundamentals of basic explanation, kind of like reading, you know, the back of a book before you read it, you get a sense of what it's going to be about, but you don't get the ending, right? Then you can go into the learning library and say, okay, so I've watched this section on branding and I want to go back and learn more about my target client. Let's go find the learning library video about targeting your target client or branding and style evolution. So the learning library still is in its growth phase. So we don't have a video for every single bullet point just yet.
Right.
But that's part of our first year goal, is that everything that's mentioned in the fundamentals will have corresponding videos taught either by myself or by someone much better at those things than myself. For example, when you're looking at business and finance, I give the fundamentals about contracts, but we have a wonderful woman whose name is Rachel Brinke, and she, her business is called The Law Tog. She's a lawyer who also happens to be a photographer. Well, who better to teach you the ins and out and deep dives of contracts than an actual lawyer who creates contracts for photographers, right? So we go find bigger and better experts than me to take these bullet points and expand them further.
I see. Very interesting approach. So the fundamentals give everyone that introductory knowledge that they need. And then when they want that in-depth on, you know, something specific, say marketing or branding, they can go to the library and really get that extra information that they're looking
for. Exactly. We kind of look at the fundamentals as a very well fleshed out outline.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you everything you need to know. I'm going to give you descriptions of what it is. It's not just me saying, and now you need to know about branding. The end. Like, what is branding? What does it mean? What do you need to know about it? A really good overview. Now, based on those overviews, where do you feel your education is either deficient or you'd like to learn more? Or what problem is plaguing you this week? You can hop down into the learning library and find corresponding videos to help you with those things.
So it's like choose your adventure.
Kind of, yeah, actually. And that's what's been really... that's what's been really excellent for me, because in the courses that I've done for Creative Live, yes, they have been excellent, and I don't want to take anything away from those courses. I am very proud of them. But there's only so far that you can expand when you have a one-day class or a three-day class or honestly even a 30-day class. With the learning library, if we realize that one deep dive on, for example, social media management isn't enough, we have the ability to go back and flesh it out and make it bigger and bring in other experts and say, well, this is how Susan does it, but what about how this other person does it? It might be vastly different. So when you look at the wedding school right now, well, up until the end of April, you're going to see a whole lot of me. But after that, you're going to start seeing a much broader, much wider range of educators with different areas of expertise. And that's where this learning library is really going to start exploding. So we're very excited about that.
I like this approach. And I think for anyone listening who has a wealth of expertise and they're getting to the point where there's just so much content that they could create on a particular subject, this is a great approach because the reality is that you do have learners at different levels. And it's very hard to capture everything
for
every level.
You can't be everything for everybody. It's true.
Especially in a single course. It's very hard to do that well. So a school allows you more breadth and depth, really.
That's exactly what we were talking about, because when we were putting this together, we were thinking, I mean, no, it's not a traditional school where you're going class to class to class and taking tests and all of that. But when you're in college, you have your freshman year where you're getting 101 on everything. Yeah. And then once you've mastered those 101s, then you get to go to 201 and it's a little more specialized. So, I mean, your first year you might take English, and then your second year you might take Russian literature. And then your third year you might take Russian literature in the 1800s, right? You start specializing and specializing. So we want to have a broad scope of education for people who are very new and taking it all in, but people who are also further into their educational and photographic journey, they will be able to dive deeply into subjects that, had they bought other courses elsewhere, they would have kind of had to sift through the other stuff to get right where they wanted to go. And here, you can either go broad or you can go right where you need.
Yeah. Let's talk about activities. What activities or exercises do you have within the school to just measure people's learning and make sure that they're actually learning this stuff?
Well, that's what we're sort of working on developing for this year, are tangible ways to see how people are doing. Right now, we're tracking everyone's progress. We're doing weekly Q&A videos.
Okay.
So as people are going through, how are you doing? How are these videos helping you? What questions do you still have? And we're creating weekly videos to answer them. And I've also created, for every single, we've got 4 out of the 5 pillars finished now, textbooks to go along with them. Okay. So basically, you get the fundamentals overview. The textbooks are major deep dives in and of themselves, and they have a lot of calls to action in them. I recommend you fill out this spreadsheet. You know, when you're talking about your business finances, there are spreadsheets for budgeting and inquiries and making sure your pricing is profitable. And we're really looking forward to seeing how this will then spin off into actionable, tangible steps that people can take to prove their growth. You know, not only school-wise, but also to themselves. It's really helpful to see, I have done A, now I can do B.
Yeah.
So that's definitely on our scope for this year and beyond.
Okay. So let's talk about marketing, because I know that you spend a lot of time planning and marketing your launch. How did you get the word out about your school?
Well, we started very, very simply at first, because we wanted to make sure, first and foremost, that people understood what we were doing, because that question did come up over and over again. How is this different from anything that you've done educationally in the past? So I had a group on Facebook. It's about 3,500 people. It's a really lovely group of people who've kind of bought my books and watched my courses, and they're my core audience. And we did a soft launch to them. We said, here, this is our website. You know, we are open now. We are opening an inaugural discount here. What questions do you have about it based on what you're seeing here? And it brought up a lot of questions, because, you know, when you're building a project and you're putting something together, sometimes it's hard to see what you're putting out there because you know the project inside and out. You
Absolutely.
Think you've explained it really well. And then other people go to the site and they're like, we don't understand.
Yeah.
And you're like, how can you not understand? Because you're not explaining it as well as you possibly could. But launching it softly to that group first really let us fine-tune our frequently asked questions, really made us clarify the message on the website so that people could understand. Then we launched it to my mailing list, which is admittedly, you know, small in terms of mailing list. We have about 9,000 people on there. And we launched to that list and, you know, kept it very quiet, weren't really putting it in a lot of places yet, and answered more questions, tightened up our marketing message even more. And then we released it to my business Facebook page, which has somewhere around 55,000 likes, or people who like it, or fans, or whatever the kids call it these days. So we kept introducing it to a bigger audience, but it was also a contained audience that I knew already liked me, already liked my work, already liked my message.
Yeah.
So from there, that was our first launch, was to see how does it resonate with an audience that I already have. And from there on out, our next launch, we launched during WPPI convention, which is a huge international convention for wedding and portrait photographers. We relaunched it, and I taught several classes while I was there, which pushed the message out to the bigger convention audience, which was great. But now when we launch again in April, we are looking at a bigger marketing plan that is pushing it beyond just my audience. But I really am glad that our first launch and our first endeavor, we kept it small and then kept it smaller and then kept it smaller still so that we could, you know, we already knew that we were launching it to a group of very welcoming people, which I think was a very smart move in hindsight. I thought it was very short-sighted at first. Why would we only open it up to this small group of people? Wouldn't we want to open it up to everybody? But if we had opened it up to everybody from the very beginning, we would have been answering questions from thousands of people instead of hundreds of people.
Yeah.
And so it really helped fine-tune the eventual launch.
I think another lesson there is these were not only qualified buyers or customers, but they also were your fans. And that is so important because it can be scary to open something up to the world. But knowing
it is really scary. Yeah, it's not only scary to do that, but it's also scary to open up a large educational endeavor that at first glance looks like another large educational endeavor that you've done before.
Yeah.
And I knew that this audience, they're awesome people and they know me and they trust me. So that when I said, listen, it looks like that now, let me tell you where it's going, their response was, cool, we trust you.
Right.
Exactly. And a whole bunch of people who didn't know me at all might be like, okay, yeah, that's really nice that you're saying that, but we'll believe it when we see it. And we knew that there would only be a very limited period of time where people were confused about this versus other things I'd done before. And once our launch in April rolls out again with the other instructors that we're bringing in, then the questions about how is this different are going to become much less frequent because it's not going to look anything like anything I've done before.
Yeah. So three key takeaways there. I just want to recap. You know, the first one you said was just having a soft launch, or some people call it a beta, something early, and letting people know, just being really transparent with people. Hey, we're doing this. It's a soft launch. Want to get your feedback. The second key thing is to leverage your fans. Launch to them first. And because they're going to embrace what you're doing, and they're going to give you feedback, and they're not going to just, you know, persecute you for lack of a better term.
And that was very, very, very important, which was, hey, you guys are kind of a loyal audience. We're doing this new thing. We'd like to share it with you first, but between you and me, tell me what doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
And instead of opening it up to the general public to be like, this doesn't make any sense. You are stupid. What a bad idea. It was a bunch of people who were like, well, this looks cool, but we have some questions.
Right. Which is a totally different
experience. Very helpful. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And then that last thing that you said was just timing your launch with something that if you have something big going on, timing your launch appropriately so that you can, you know, maximize the exposure and the amount of marketing that you get. So lots of great insights there. Before we get into the wrap up, I do want to talk about pricing. So I know that you offered a beta or introductory pricing because it was a soft launch.
Yes.
How did you, it was $299. How did you get to that number? Because pricing is a big, big stickler for a lot of people.
Pricing is really hard. And I'm going to be honest, pricing a digital product for me is very, very difficult because I tend to really undervalue it because I'm like, oh, it's just digital. It's not like real, which is, I mean, listen, it's utter foolishness and it's my own stumbling block. And that's where, and I'm going to be completely honest, I'm super glad I'm not the only person in the wedding school because it's really difficult sometimes to see beyond your own stumbling blocks in business. And I have three other partners in the wedding school who all bring their own incredible strengths to the table. And Craig Swanson, one of the other founders of the wedding school, is incredibly good at business and marketing and pricing. And he was able to really take the reins on this and say, okay, based on what I know about the educational space online, this is where I feel we should be. And to me, that would have honestly, between you and me and everyone who's listening, I'd probably still be sitting here trying to figure out how to price it.
Yeah.
And the worst thing that I could have done, and I remember doing this with a product that I launched, you know, a book that I launched a long time ago, I asked people what they would have been willing to pay for it. I did a survey that was like, what would you pay for this type of instructional manual? And a lot of people were like, $5. And I thought, oh, okay, well, I can't price it over $5 because that's what people are willing to pay. And that was goofy. You can't ask your audience what they're willing to pay for the product that you're creating. You need to figure out the value of it and then figure out a way to sell it. And because it is my baby, it's my education, it's my words, it's my thoughts, it's really hard to put a price tag on it. So having a partner who is sort of emotionally separate from the creation of the kind of intellectual content, who can say objectively in the market, this is where it should be. It was a really, I mean, it really got us to launch day a lot faster because I would still be, I would still seriously be here saying $2.99, $4.99. I don't know. It's a really tough thing.
Well, and for some reason you brought up something which I think is very real for a lot of people, but for some reason we do undervalue our digital products. I don't know why. I mean, so let me ask, how much time did it take you to put the wedding school together?
So we started talking about it, at the end of last year over Mexican food, which was really funny. It's one of those conversations that one thing leads to another, and then all of a sudden you're planning a business.
Yeah.
I would say probably between about 4 and 5 months before our soft launch. And our soft launch was very soft and with very little in terms of fully deliverable content. We were basically offering a pre-buy-in as the school was being loaded up with information.
Okay.
And once that was done, I mean, we have the fundamentals. There are things in there now, for sure. But it was tough to be marketing it while we were also creating it.
But we're talking months of work, right? So we're talking months of work. And
but
somehow,
if we're being fully realistic, I'm talking about 15 years of work.
Yes.
Because
yes.
This is a culmination of everything that I have learned. And yes, it took us a few months to put it together, but it took me 15 years to learn it.
Absolutely.
So
which doesn't even get into the conversation about value of a photographer who may be starting out and being able to jumpstart their career by enrolling in the school.
Well, I think of what would I have been willing to pay for this back in 2003?
Yeah.
And the answer is, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot. Because if I could have watched something like this then, I would have jumped over a lot of problems and questions and concerns. And yes, the best teacher is experience, but it also really helps to be fully educated before you start getting those experiences. And it would have, you know, I would have just understood more about the industry as a whole in a way that was really difficult to do, you know, way back in those olden days.
Absolutely. So if we really step back and think about all of those things, $2.99 is a bargain. It's a hell of a bargain.
Oh, $2.99 is insane. Like, it is absolutely. And even once it reaches its full price, which will be $5.99, I would have paid that in an absolute, I would pay it now. I mean, it's nothing when you consider what you will learn and how it will help your business, and just the confidence that it will give you as a photographer when you are firing on all cylinders, from photo skills to marketing to finance. When you actually go out and start gaining that experience at weddings, you will be light years ahead of where I was when I started gaining experience at weddings.
Absolutely. Yep. I don't have anything to say. That's it. That's it. Don't undervalue yourself. Really, really think long and hard about all the different aspects of how your course is helping people. And when you do that, you can start to say, you know what? This is really a bargain. People should pay this. And it kind of reframes everything.
Yes, I completely agree with you. I had to divorce my thought from reality because, well, what would I pay for this course? Well, I don't know. I mean, I've made it. It's my own information. So I'm not my target market here. I'm the creator of the course.
Yeah.
And you can't go asking people what they'd be willing to pay for it, because people are not ever going to be willing to pay for anything. You have to prove to them why it is absolutely invaluable. And once you prove to them that it's invaluable, the number that you put on it will seem a lot more reasonable, whatever that number is.
Definitely. So we're down to the final three questions.
Ooh,
first
okay.
one, the first one is an easy one. And it's kind of, we've been talking about it, but what's next for you? Anything other than the wedding school, or just in general, what's coming up for you?
wedding season. Because not only am I doing the wedding school and creating education and working with other instructors and just facilitating a lot of that, I'm also a full-time wedding photographer. I shoot between 45 and 55 weddings a year.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of completely insane. I basically have two full-time jobs. So that's, you know, it's awesome. I just don't really sleep much, but wedding season is looming on the horizon at the beginning of April. So we've had what we call convention season, which is sort of when nobody's really shooting weddings. It's kind of dead. It's winter. Nobody's really getting married. That's when we go to conventions. That's when we speak. That's when I do a lot of educational preparation for the year. But it is about to be full on wedding season until about November.
Nice. Good times. Well, get your sleep in now, Susan. Get your sleep
in. I'm desperately trying.
All right. So where can people find out more about you?
Well, they can. People would like to see my work. My website is susanstripling.com. You can also find me on Instagram. I'm Susan Stripling Photography on Instagram. And for the wedding school, it's theweddingschool.net.
Perfect. So last question.
Yes.
What's your why? Why do you get up and do this work every day?
You know, I'm going to have to quote Hamilton here. We've been talking for an hour and I have not quoted Hamilton one time. Save it for the end. But there's one song when he's talking about forming the bank and everything that he's doing. And he says, you know, God help and forgive me. I want to build something that's going to outlive me. And that's why I get up and shoot weddings. That's why I create education, is because when I'm not here anymore, I want the photographs that I've created to be part of someone's family legacy. And I want the educational things that I have created for wedding photographers to make a difference in their careers, thusly in their families, in their livelihoods. You know, I just want to make a difference to people on all different fronts. So, yeah.
And there it is. Susan, thank you so much for being here. This was great.
You are so welcome. Anytime.
So shout out to Susan for sharing her story about how she created, marketed, and launched The Wedding School. I hope you got tons of value from that episode, especially if you've been curious about launch strategy or just exploring the idea of creating a school versus an online course. Now, to check out the show notes for the episode and find out how to get in touch with Susan, just head over to zencourses.co/030. Once again, that's zencourses.co/030 for episode 30. Just remember, it's .co, not .com. And last, but certainly not least, if you want to learn more about some of what we talked about in this episode, just like just-in-time learning strategies, how to launch your course, and what your learner's journey means for your content, well, I've got you covered. Head over to zencourses.co/newsletter and you'll get all of my articles on creating content and launching your online course. Once again, that's zencourses.co/newsletter. All right, it is that time. As always, thank you for hanging out with me. I am Janelle Allen, and this has been The Zen Courses Show. Have a wonderful day.